analyzing some really bad advice. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
And it's good to be back with you in studio. We've been doing a little planning tonight, and I'm getting ready for a trade show. So, and you've been working all day, so we're both kind of just sort of at the end of our candle. But
well, that's okay. I think we can still manage to light a flame here, even
as always. That's right. Even if all we got left is wick.
Yeah, as Samuel Adams was known for saying from the American Revolution, we're to light brush fires in the minds of men, brush fires of liberty in the minds of men. That's what we try to do with this program, ladies and gentlemen. And so that's the reason why today we're going to be talking a little bit about some really bad advice that was given recently to folks here in Ohio and why it's important, I think, that they not follow all of this advice. Chuck, you brought this up to my attention. This article that we're going to be talking about comes from the website of the Buckeye Firearms Association, which is one of Ohio's Second Amendment supporting organizations. And they had an article by their vice chairman, Chad Bouse, entitled Colorado University to Segregate Dorms for Students with Gun Permits. And I can hear our audience saying, what did they just say? Yes, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you see, the deal is that in March of this year, the Colorado Supreme Court brought down a ruling because there was a lawsuit filed against the University of Colorado for discriminating against college students who had concealed carry permits, and they would not allow them to carry them in their domiciles. And so they were sued. So the University of Colorado at Boulder and the one at Colorado Springs basically decided, well, if the court tells us that we cannot ban guns, well, we'll just segregate them and force them to live in certain locations away from the rest of the general student population. Well, Chuck, I see a recipe for some interesting things happening, don't you?
Well, first of all, constitutionally, that is essentially morally equivalent to saying get in the back of the bus.
Well, it's exactly what it is. And it's also a thumbing of the nose at the Colorado Supreme Court, who said your gun ban is unconstitutional. You, University of Colorado system, cannot ban students who are paying you for the privilege of going to your university. You can't ban their guns if they have a legally obtained carry permit.
Well, I think really maybe even this is worse than back of the bus. This is more like Plessy versus Ferguson. This is separate but equal, except that the University of Colorado has made it clear that this is not separate but equal, but separate and unequal, because what they basically said is the main dorms on the main campus will not allow any concealed carry weapons.
Okay. Oh, you're right, Chuck. It's going to be entirely unequal, because my guess is if anybody does any kind of data or analytical study over the next few years, you're going to find the crime incidences in those segregated dorms is probably going to be significantly lower than in the general dorms.
Well, there's an old saying, Barry, and that is that an armed society is a polite society.
Yes, that's true.
And there's a reason for that. For the most part, it's most people want to be polite, but occasionally you find people who don't want to be polite, and they will do nasty things like pull knives and threaten with baseball bats and all kinds of other things. And well, it's always a dumb idea to bring a knife to a gunfight. And I'm one of those people that fits the NRA statistic when we were fighting this battle early in the 80s. I'm one of those people that prevented a crime by simply showing someone a gun. Didn't have to aim it at them. Didn't have to threaten them with it. Just let them know that I had it. And voila, the problem was solved. And that's exactly what goes on in these cases. Barry, what we're going to see with this announcement, I think, is what you're going to see. What essentially the Colorado University is doing is putting up a sign that says, don't worry, no one here is armed. And what that does is that encourages people who are not afraid to use violence because they're bullies and cowards. When they know people are unarmed, they will come in and happily rob you. They're not afraid to violate the law. They're already robbing you. Why would they be afraid of violating a gun law?
Of course not. That just is not good common sense. If somebody is going to be a criminal, they're going to be a criminal.
And that's the bottom line. Now, for some reason, Colorado U, they've gone to this conclusion. My wife and I always laugh. When she was in college, her boyfriend carried a gun because he often made large deposits at night after hours. So he carried a gun and he would come in and visit her and put his gun on a mantelpiece or something. And her roommates would always come in and see the gun and scream, "Oh, it's a gun." Well, yeah, but they have to be in the control of someone before they actually do anything dangerous. They don't jump off the mantelpiece and use themselves. It's a tool like anything else. You can have your head cut off with a shovel. It's a tool that you can either use properly or abuse. And Colorado University is sort of taking the same viewpoint as that roommate of my wife's and saying, "Oh, it's a gun." Knowing full well, or they should know full well if they were thinking straight, that, again, a gun is only dangerous when it's misused.
Well, there you go. Now, thankfully, just like your wife had you, the students who are concealed carry permit holders at the University of Colorado system has the Mountain States Legal Foundation and their attorney, James Manley, who filed the original lawsuit, which they won in the Colorado Supreme Court, taking a really close, hard look at this new regulation put forward by the university in an attempt to get around or find a loophole in the Supreme Court ruling by creating that separate but very much not so equal accommodations. It looks like there's only going to be one type of accommodation if you're an upperclassman and they say over the age of 21 and with a gun permit. Now, I don't know Colorado laws if you have to be 21 before you can get your CC, but they're opening it to over the age of 21 and having a permit, you have to stay in specific residential areas. In the Boulder campus, you have to live in the family housing units downtown. And in Colorado Springs, you have to live in the upperclassmen dorms. Every place else and all the other dorms on both those campuses, they're still banning guns, even though the Colorado Supreme Court said their gun ban regulation was unconstitutional. So James Manley and the Mountain States Legal Foundation are saying that they're taking a good hard look and they may just go back to court over this.
Now, there's one place that I don't necessarily agree with the tactic, but I agree with their reasoning, and that is they've also banned them at football games.
Right.
And they're basically saying that a ticket purchase is a contractual agreement not to carry a weapon into the stadium. Well, frankly, I think that is in the realm of being a more or less a private business transaction. For instance, if a restaurant owner is stupid enough to ban guns in his restaurant, he has that right, I think, in my opinion.
Right.
It's the same way with the football stadium. Now, in a dorm room, that is a domicile, and you have the right to protect your own life and the life of any roommate you might have and your property from an attack inside your domicile. And in fact, you pay rent on a room, which makes it your domicile. You have what amounts to a lease agreement with the university to live in the dorm.
That's right.
It's not the same thing as banning things at like athletic facilities at a game. So what Colorado is basically trying to do is say, okay, judge, we're going to comply with your court order as much as we feel like complying with your court order.
Well, exactly, Chuck, and you and I both know that that is a tactic they can take, but that does leave open the plaintiffs to be able to come back and have the court speak more specifically to the onerous nature of the banning of guns or the segregation of gun owners on the Colorado University campuses. Now, Chuck, at least in Colorado, they have the opportunity to have their guns in some living domicile while they're a student on campus. But here in Ohio, it's a little bit different story because right now, under our state laws, as is pointed out by Chad Bouse in this Buckeye Firearms piece, that concealed carry licensees are only allowed on campuses in a motor vehicle or in the process of being secured in a motor vehicle. In other words, you can only have your license permitted gun in a motor vehicle or that you're taking it to a motor vehicle, which means you can't have it anywhere else on campus, including your dorm rooms. However, Chuck, our students here in Ohio, especially at the University of Cincinnati, where this memo comes from, have been given some, well, shall we say, interesting advice on how to protect themselves from possible attack now that they've been disarmed by the university.
Yeah, Barry, this is, wow. Some of you may have seen the ad on TV with the Cincinnati police chief talking about what a wonderful education he has. Wow, you can't tell it from this memo that he's written, the chief of police and the director of public safety to the UC community. I'm going to read this, and then you and I think we're going to do our best to try to explain, because you and I both read it and went, huh?
Exactly.
District 5 police is reporting a serious spike in robbery offenses in the Clifton University Heights and Fairview CUF neighborhoods around campus. Okay, so far so good. Public safety is everyone's business. Travel in pairs. Walk in a deliberate manner.
Yes, a deliberate manner.
What exactly does that mean? Don't wander around and circle and look up in the sky and the sort of daydreaming. And I'm not sure what that
means. It means a forced march, not looking to your left or your right, immediately a beeline from wherever you are to wherever you have to go to, regardless of what's in your way. That would be a deliberate manner.
There, I guess.
Knocking aside well, everybody, including old women and little children, so you can get safely to your new location.
Make eye contact when approached by strangers, and if necessary, defend yourself. Well, okay, as far as it goes, although...
That sounds like just basic common sense. If somebody attacks you, you defend yourself. No problem there, I don't think.
This eye contact thing, too. You're going to have a staring contest, apparently, with everybody to make sure that they think you're either insane or too crazy to rob, I guess. I don't know.
And then when the police finally show up, the other person's like, I thought they were going to attack me.
Okay, let's end. If necessary, defend yourself. Okay, here comes the next part of the sentence.
Yep.
To defend yourself is to leave a mark on the person for later identification if you are assaulted.
Okay, now think about this, ladies and gentlemen. Their definition of defending yourself is just leaving a mark on somebody assaulting you. Okay, so that means if a woman is getting beaten and raped, as long as she scratches her opponent, she's defended herself. But that's all they want you to do.
And like I mentioned, how about a bullet hole?
Well, that is a mark too, Chuck, but I'm sure that would probably... Because you have your concealed carry handgun on you, but you're on campus and you're not taking it to a car or securing it in a motor vehicle, you might be the one getting arrested while they cart off your assailant to the morgue.
Or to the hospital so he can sue you later because the police have determined that you were the actual criminal. And this has been a problem, and which is why the gun laws have to be changed.
Yes.
All right. Here's the last part.
And then there's the kicker. Here's the kicker.
This is too good. A passive victim profile is not encouraged.
Okay.
What? What?
So in other words, they don't want you to lay down in the middle of the street and draw a chalk line around yourself. That's good advice, don't you think, Charles?
Yeah. Now, I'm a word parser. I'm the kind of person who reads a sentence, and if I don't understand exactly what the speaker or the writer meant, I try to parse the words. And I break these apart, and I look at them. Passive victim profile. What? Seriously, I'm like, a passive victim profile
That means they either want you to be an active victim.
Yes.
Well, I can't make out anything else out of it. They still want you to be a victim.
Yeah, I guess that leaves that bullet hole out as the mark that you want to leave on the person.
I guess so.
That doesn't work for me, Barry. I do not want to be a passive victim. I do not want to be an active victim. I do not want to be a victim at all. I want to be left alone. And if I'm not left alone, I want to be able to defend myself. And that's not just by leaving a little scratch mark on somebody's arm as they stab me or take my wallet, maybe shoot me. I intend to defend myself. Passive victim profile is not encouraged. Well, gee, that's really good. As soon as we figure out exactly what is meant by this, we'll let you know. But this is honestly a recipe for disaster. Because as we all know, Barry, when seconds count, the cops are only minutes away. And this is basically saying, no, no, let the police protect you.
Well, that's exactly what this is saying. And this reminds me of something, Chuck, a little vignette here. I recently took my family to Plymouth Plantation, which is out near Plymouth Rock in Massachusetts. And we're in the gift shop getting ready to leave. And my one son notices a pair of guns sitting crossed on a board behind them. And he said, those aren't real guns, are they? And the store lady says, no, they're not. And I said, well, no, they wouldn't have that. And the one woman said, well, no, we don't have a permit to do that. And the other woman says, well, we would like to keep peace. And I could and I couldn't help myself. I just looked at her and I said, and oftentimes you keep the peace the best when you're securely armed. And she's like, exactly. Well, that's what, and then she fires back, well, that's what the police are for. And I looked at her and said, well, if you want to wait for the police that long and let somebody rape, rob, or murder you, you go right ahead. But I'm not taking that risk with my family.
Yes, well, if you'll remember the Colt cartridge pistol, what was it called?
The Widowmaker.
The Peacemaker.
The Peacemaker, that's right. Okay, yes.
It was called the Peacemaker, and there's a reason for that. And guess what?
We've made our peace.
That's right, we've made our peace. So join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.